Our reading this morning is taken from Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 to 22. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, and if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as if for silver and search for it as if for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He holds victory in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless, for he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you, and understanding will guard you. Wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men, from men whose words are perverse, who leave the straight paths to walk in dark ways, who delight in doing wrong and rejoice in the perverseness of evil, whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. It will save you also from the adulteress, from the wayward wife and her seductive words, who has left the partner of her youth and ignored the covenant she made before God. For her house leads down to death, and her paths to the spirits of the dead. None who go to her return or attain the paths of life. Thus you will walk in the ways of good men and keep to the paths of the righteous. For the upright will live in the land, and the blameless will remain in it, but the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the unfaithful will be torn from it. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So Ian's going to come and speak to us this morning, bring his wisdom and the Lord's wisdom. As he does, I'm going to pray for him. Lord, we thank you for the gift of your word. And we thank you also for the gift of those who have the task of interpreting it and sharing it with us. Lord, as Ian speaks this morning, would you speak through him, through your Holy Spirit and into our hearts? Shape us, Lord, with your wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Good morning. Can you all hear me? You heard the vicar who asked that. And somebody at the back said, I can hear you, Vicar, but I don't mind changing places with somebody who can't. He was the same chap who said, there's something wrong with this microphone. And everyone said, and also with you. I'd like to thank Adam very much for the songs he chose, because they do fit in with this concept of seeking wisdom. And it's interesting that Hazel, in her prayers before the service, prayed two lines, which are the two lines at the end of what I'm going to say today. It's quite extraordinary. It's a leading here, I think. Well, as you probably know, in a previous life, I used to put people to sleep. And if I succeed in doing that today, don't worry, because Phil has promised, if I go on too long, he'll make the Francis sign, which means stop. And in case you do go to sleep, I'll say what I'm going to talk about, then I'll talk about it, and then I'll tell you what I told you. It's about asking for wisdom, really, isn't it? And it's not just asking for wisdom. Oh, good, I'm wise, thank you. But it's asking for forgiveness, for wisdom, over and over again. Keep on asking for wisdom. We're doing a series of sermons on wisdom, as you'll realise, guided by a book published by the London Institute for Contemporary Christianity called Proverbs, Wisdom for the Whole Life. It recommends a short video on Proverbs produced by the Bible Project, which is very good. We saw a similar one by them on Hebrews, I think. But the writing details are a bit intricate for our screen. So I'm happy to give you the address, the YouTube address, if you'd like to watch it. It is worth watching, but it just doesn't come up on our screen terribly well. Proverbs contain hundreds of sayings by Solomon, by a lady called Wisdom, and by one or two other characters, such as Ogre and Lemuel. A proverb's a wise saying, such as, too many cooks spoil the broth. But I don't think that's actually from Proverbs. These sayings are probabilities. They're generally true, but as the song goes, it ain't necessarily so. After all, some people say, many hands make light work. But there is a proverb in Proverbs which says, train up a child in the way they should go, and even when they're old, they'll not turn from it. I think some people would say that in their experience, this is a probability, not a promise. But this passage today is not probabilities. We're dealing with promises. It's the chapter's a collection of God's promises. If you ask for wisdom for your walk through life, God will give it and help you on the right paths. Last week, Phil defined wisdom as experience, knowledge, and good judgment. Experience and good judgment enable you to take the right actions in relation to what you know. And you may remember last week, for me, the most helpful example was one we touched on, tomatoes. Knowledge knows tomatoes are fruit. Wisdom is not including them in your fruit salad. Wisdom is doing the right thing in the circumstances. Phil then went on to let the cat out of the bag. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And we can complement that with a verse from Proverbs 9. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Not cringing fear, but awe and respect. I love that passage in one of C.S. Lewis's Narnia Chronicles, where they see the great lion Aslan after not seeing him for quite a long time. And it says, they felt as glad as anyone can who feels afraid, and afraid as anyone can who feels glad. I think that's a wonderful description. Fear of the Lord is all you need to act wisely. God created a beautiful moral universe. There is a right and wrong. He's all-powerful. He knows everything because he's present everywhere. He hates sin, yet he loves us so much that he gave us his son to die to pay for our sins. Awesome. It's not surprising that people fell down before him. Even the beloved disciple John, when he sees Jesus in the vision of heaven, falls down at his feet as though dead. Solomon is speaking to his son. It seems like it was his only son, Rehoboam. If you listen to Dad's words and therefore ask for wisdom, then you'll learn the fear of the Lord. And you'll also understand what's right and just and fair, every good path. Now, if you look at the passage carefully, yes, a bit slower than that, you'll find three ifs, two thens, and a thus. If you accept my words, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver, then you will understand the fear of the Lord. Then you will understand what is right and just, every good path. Then you will walk in the ways of the good. And Solomon actually uses eight expressions for the process of seeking wisdom. Accept Dad's words, store them up, turn your ear to wisdom, apply your heart to understanding, call out for insight, cry aloud for understanding, look for it as silver and search for it as hidden treasure. Isn't that amazing? It was something that mattered, wasn't it, Solomon? And he repeated all that. What advice for living did you get from your parents? All I remember is children should be seen and not heard. Our meal table used to be very quiet. What is so sad is that neither Solomon nor Rehoboam continued to live their lives wisely. I mean, for sure, Solomon became so wise that the Queen of Sheba came to visit him. Didn't they take lovely photographs in those days? But surely, it was unwise to marry 700 wives. And as someone said, that actually implies 700 mothers-in-law. It was probably the non-Jewish wives who led him to worship foreign gods and idols. So we've even got a photograph of him worshipping an idol. It's amazing. Rehoboam, his son, when he became king, ignored the counsel of wise men, and that ended up in war. But Solomon had asked God for wisdom. Give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people, etc. So he did ask for it, didn't he? He asked God for wisdom. But it almost looks as though he stopped asking for it when he was regarded as wise. Okay, I'm wise now. When Jesus asks us tells us to ask for things, the tense of the word he uses means go on asking. And I think today's message is that. Go on asking for wisdom. Don't just ask once, get told you're wise, and then stop. If you ask for wisdom, you will understand not only the fear of the Lord, but the second then says you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path. The image of the path or way is said to occur about 800 times in the Bible. Walking was the main form of transportation. Walking involves choosing to enter the path, doesn't it? Progressing towards a destination, making wise or foolish choices on the way, taking care for safety and not getting lost, and finally arriving at the goal. But God's not just like a sat-nav. There are moral choices to make along the way. Should I let that car pull out in front of me, for instance? The Bible talks of two main paths. Firstly, there's the path of life. It describes the conduct of a person's life and the results of that way of life. God says in Psalms, I will instruct you and teach you the way you should go. The Bible makes much of these two contrasting paths that we've seen in this passage, of course. But you can read it particularly in the Psalms, like Psalm 1. Blessed is the one who doesn't walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night, ongoing. Don't call me wise, or I might stop asking for wisdom. So we go on asking. I think that's the most important thing. Today's passage tells us if we ask for wisdom, it'll save us from the ways of wicked men whose words are perverse, who have left the straight paths to walk in dark ways. And it'll save us from the adulterous woman, from the wayward woman with her seductive words. Temptation and flattery. Use this shampoo because you're worth it. That's flattery. I think Phil mentioned that last week. Thus, you will walk in the ways of the good and keep to the paths of the righteous. The suggestion is we won't lack good friends and companions. God has created a moral universe, so people must choose. Moses tells the Israelites, "See, I'm setting before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing if you obey the commands of the Lord your God, that I'm giving you today. The curse if you disobey the commands of the Lord your God and turn away that I command you today by following other gods, which you have not known." Which is what Solomon did, isn't it? Turned after other gods. Jesus tells us we have a choice too. Enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, broad the road that leads to destruction. Many enter in through it. But small is the gate, narrow the road that leads to life. And only a few find it. So, that's the path of life. But the path of salvation too. Isaiah talks of a voice of one calling in the wilderness, "Prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God." In the New Testament, John the Baptist came to prepare the way of the Lord. Some people think it's for our progress towards God. Others think it's for the path of God to come to us. But whichever it is, the valleys suggest our doubts that can be filled up with God's wisdom. And the mountains are our pride, which really need knocking down. So God's knowledge cures our doubts. Fantastic. The Gospels picture the Christian life as being on the road with Jesus. So in Acts, you know, Paul says, he goes to Damascus so that if he found any there that belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. And in John's Gospel, Jesus says, "He is the way." Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And in Hebrews, Jesus' role as high priest provides the way to God. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, his body. So for Christians, really, the two paths fuse into one, because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and we walk with him. Now, when Jesus turned the water into wine, the ruler of the feast said to Jesus, "He'd saved the best wine till now." And I feel the same here this morning. The best part of this description of our path as a Christian is the way God looks after us on the pathway. The next sermon on Proverbs, which Sally, I think, is talking at, deals with chapter 9. So I think Sally won't mind if I nick a couple of verses from chapters 3 and 4. The good news is God protects our way. Solomon says in today's reading, "For he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones." Just like a loving father cares for his children. And this is really beautifully described in Psalm 23. "The Lord is my shepherd. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." The rod was a club-like thing to fend off attackers. The staff was the familiar shepherd's crook for leading, for pulling them out of danger. So God protects our way, but he also directs our way. If you look in chapter 3, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight." Or the Authorized Version says, "And he will direct thy paths." In the early 1970s, Tina and I were going to have to look for a house somewhere between Bart's hospital and the North Middlesex Hospital. But we had no idea where. So the prayer warrior and I prayed about it. Tina had tried to phone the state agents and couldn't find any. But almost straight away after the prayer, the phone went. It was an estate agent to tell the previous occupants of our flat that there was a house available in Leytonstone. Actually on the route to where we were about to visit some friends that afternoon. No one had been able to find the previous occupant. He'd left about a year ago. So we went and looked at the house, which was just perfect for us. So that's direction. So God protects, he directs, but it also perfects our way. In chapter 4, Solomon says, "The path of the righteous is like the morning sun, shining ever brighter till the full light of day." The picture's of sunrise, isn't it? With the increasing light on the path as the day advances. If we walk in the way of God's wisdom, the path gets brighter and brighter, and there's no sunset. We step into that land where the light never dims. For there will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. As it says in Psalm 23, "Surely your goodness and mercy and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." God protects, directs, and perfects our path. A number of us went to Margaret Addy's funeral the other day. She used to attend the 9 o'clock service mostly. She was somebody who'd given her life to the Lord. She'd got on the path. Her life was a great example to us all. Even towards the end, where she was hardly mobile at all, she would continue to give generously to the church missionaries and always inquired after their health. And at the funeral, Phil used Psalm 23, her favourite psalm, as a picture of her life, her walk, her path. And as we got up to leave after the commendation, the hymn "All Things Bright and Beautiful" was playing. What a picture of her life, shining more and more unto the perfect day. What a lovely thought that is, rather than just walking out feeling a bit depressed, to listen to that. She was in the full light of day. So, ask for wisdom. Go on asking it, and God will provide it. He'll protect our way. He'll direct our way. He'll perfect our way. Don't be like Frank Sinatra, whose song, "I Did It My Way," is sung at so many funerals. Do it God's way. And in practice, don't look any further than the Lord's Prayer. "Hallowed be your name," awe and reverence. "Your kingdom come," what you command. "Your will be done," what you wish me to do. The word "will" is "wish" in the New Testament. It's not "Lord's," it's what he wishes us to do, in this particular episode perhaps. "Feed us, forgive us, and lead us." That's the path to take. Amen.